ग्लानिर्भवति भारत अद्युतानं मधर्मश तदात्मानं श्रीजाम्यहम् परित्राणाय साधुना विनाशाय च दुष्कृता धर्म संस्थापनार्थाय शम्भभामि युगे युगे शम्भभामि युगे युगे हरेर्नाम हरेर्नाम हरेर्नामैव केवलम् कलौ नास्त्येव 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 गतिरन्यथा Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, welcome to this weekly Krishna Consciousness program. And once again, I would like to invite all the listeners to the Hare Krishna Temple, which is at 1229 Coatesville Riverhead Highway, also known as Highway 28. There every Sundays we hold special public programs starting at 11:30 with bhajans and kirtans, followed by Aarti of their lordships at 12:30. And then we have a discourse at 1. When we finish the day's program with Guru Puja at 2 o'clock, Guru Puja of our founder Acharya, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And finally we have vegetarian feast at 2:30. But today we have a very special program, still starting at 11:30, but we'll have Snani Yatra. Sorry, Chandan Yatra, Pushpa Vishek, and Julan Yatra. And Bout Festival, sorry, mixed all these things. Once again, is Chandan Yatra, Pushpa Vishek, and Bout Festival. Please come along, join us, and participate. And find out for yourself what are these festivals and what are they for. And next week we are having our annual holy festival, the Festival of Colors, at the temple starting at midday. Please, you are most welcome to come along and join us. Feeling frustrated over events that are out of our control is a waste of energy and time. Ram and his army survived the grim years of exile by being patient and persistent, trusting each other with their lives. The character's determination reflects our own set of values and judgments. During challenges and situations, how we must cut through the chaos, Ram's righteousness Just help him stay his course undeterred. Adhere to your principles. Lakshman's loyalty ensured that he remained where he needed to be good, to be for good to triumph over evil. Remain calm in the face of adversity. Sita's resilience allowed her to endure her terrible predicament. This is what now I'm going to relate to you and tell you the pastimes of Lord Ram in exile, starting with how Dandakaranya got its name. King Danda loved to hunt. In fact, he fancied anything that fanned his desire to complete control over his kingdom and subjects. Animals included, and animal-like humans definitely included. From the time his father, the celebrated King Ikshvaku of the Solar Dynasty, had banished him from the kingdom of Ayodhya for his relentless misbehavior and malicious intent, following people's pleas, Danda had developed an aversion to ordinary citizens. How could simple subjects complain about their prince regent? Of course, that was the past. He was no longer a prince. He was now King Danda, master of his own land. The Vindhyas were home to Madhumanta, his kingdom. Danda was convinced Madhumanta was more beautiful than Ayodhya, the land that cast him out. And he was convinced too, that everything happened for the good. Had his father not expelled him, he would have had to share the kingdom with his stupid brothers, Vikshkusi and Nimi. He would not have built a kingdom in the Shikiva, impenetrable bosom of exquisitely beautiful Vindhyas either. He did not matter one bit that he had allied with the Rakshasas to mark his territory, a kingdom that was all his. That was what mattered, nothing else. For all the good that happened to him, the best was the close availability of the protection, wisdom and guidance of Shukracharya, the guru of the Rakshasas. This sage kept the short-tempered Rakshasas united and motivated. His mystic powers had so far saved him from every possible calamity. Not just saved him them, but often also turned calamities into unexpected victories. Danda was focused in finding a prey when all of a sudden a whiff of pregnancy threw him off. His head began to reel. He had never smelled anything so heavenly, but what he saw in the forest that day outshone everything else he had ever seen. Bewitching. That seemed to be the only word fit to describe the beauty of the damsel drawing water from the river. Danda wanted to drink every move of her delicate body with his eyes. He stood there quietly, gaping, as she gracefully arched forward to lower the pot into the river, then lifted it with her gentle hands, placed it on her slender hips, and sashayed away from the river. Danda felt like he was swaying to some intoxicating rhythm. Unable to curb his animal instinct, Danda jumped off his horse and stealthily followed the girl to her destination. No sooner than she reached her boat, she immediately recognized it as the house of the powerful sage Shukracharya, completely besotted by the beauty of in front of him. Danda brushed aside that realization. His mind was now too drunk with lust, and he was too insanely obsessed to bother. Every curve of the nymph's body was driving him wild, drawing him, provoking his base desires. He couldn't care less. It did not matter who she was. He wanted her. He needed her. Danda darted into the house, startling Arja. His lascivious glances made her very uncomfortable. Arjas Kuyumal. He was the king of the land. It was her duty to welcome him. She gently ushered him into the house. Every word that she uttered wafted into his ears like music from the Veena, following through his senses like the Ganga. Deaf to whatever she was saying about her connection with his guru, he began inching toward her. Arjuna sensed the implication of his moves from his lusty eyes and began swaying away, backing away. Suddenly, she sidestepped to rush toward the door and save herself. But Danda, the ace hunter with the trained eye, had preempted that move. With one lunge, he grabbed her fragile arms with his heavy hands. That one target smashed her lit body against his beefy torso and into his unyielding grasp. Arjuna began to holler, trying hard to wriggle out of the iron grip. But every move merely fueled his insatiable craving. He flung her to the ground and tore into her like a tiger devouring a fawn. Arjuna screamed out for her father. No one came. Even an animal is more grateful than you. When power goes to the hands of the king, he protects the innocent. But when it goes to his head, he devastates them. The ability to exercise restraint and separate humans from animals, the rules that emphasize self-control differentiate a kingdom from a jungle. Animal-like humans should never rule over human kingdom. They should run as caught in fierce jungle. As I walk out of this kingdom, the skies will rain fire and burn every bit of this place to ashes. This kingdom will become home to the fierce jungle humans have ever known. Shukracharya billowed his curse on the flabbergasted Dand and marched away. As he made his way out of the premises, the skies roared, thunder rolled, and lightning struck the palace walls, tearing them down, and a downpour of fire broke out of the skies. The kingdom was engulfed in flames. In its place stood a massive firewall. As Shukracharya kept walking further and further away, the fire consumed every corner of the kingdom. Befuddled by the sudden flame shower, people ran helter-skelter, but knowing what had happened or how, not knowing what had happened and how. For those could save themselves ran, but nothing, with nothing but their lives. By the time Shukracharya reached his assaulted daughter, the entire kingdom was a heap of ashes. With time, the place where once a glorious kingdom stood has become this great jungle called Dandakaranya. Aranya means forest, and Dandakaranya means the forest of Dand. But sages here choose to understand this to mean the forest of Danda's misdeeds or the jungle of punishment. The people from his kingdom ran and settled down at a place further down south known as Janasthan. The sage smiled at Ram, Lakshman and Sita, who were left speechless and spellbound by the story. Having traversed a long distance all the way from Chitrakoot, the trio felt exhausted. This story, however, convinced them that they were not only sent to this forest for exile, but that there was also a larger purpose behind it. Remember, KK asked, one of the boons she asked from King Dasarath was that Ram be sent to Dandakaranya. He spent 14 years here. Almost as if he had read their thoughts, the sage continued, "My dear Ram, there is an even more fascinating story about this forest. Do you want to hear it? Ram sat up and said, my dear wise master, whatever comes out of your mouth is nectar to us. Kindly share everything we need to know. The respect Ram bestowed upon him excited the sage. He could further fathom the depth of Ram's greatness just from his respectful words. Long after Dandakarna became a forest, great sages teamed there to perform austerities and tapasya. Once a prolonged drought descended in the forest, the land became parched and the trees bore no fruits. This resulted in a famine that forced the sages to leave the venture and venture out. They reached the ashram of Gautam Rishi, who agreed to host all of them until the end of the drought. The sages gratefully accepted his hospitality and began staying there. When the famine waned, they sought his permission to return, but Gautam was tight-lipped. The same stony silence was the response to repeated requests. The sages were now in dilemma. They could neither return without the approval of such an exalted sage, nor did they want to stay on any longer. While many decided to wait and watch, the restless sages thought of tricking Gautam into facilitating their exit. With this in mind, they sent an old dying cow into Gautam's hermitage courtyard. Gautam reached there to see the cow grazing in his plant patch. In an attempt to prevent the cow from chewing off all the plants he needed for worship, he gently prodded her to move away. To his utter dismay, the cow dropped dead with that one nudge. The trickster, who were hiding and watching, rushed in, accusing Gautam of the sin of killing a cow over such trivial infringement. Though shocked, Gautam was convinced it wasn't his mistake. He shut his eyes, and with his powers of yogic meditation, he began to scan the past to determine the exact cause. He slowly opened his eyes with new clarity. His body began to tremble with fury. He cursed the sages that the forest they so longed to return to would be infested with demons. Their deception, he said, would attract deceptive demons. On hearing this extreme curse, they fell at his feet and pleaded for grace. Gautam's heart melted. He kept the curse with a limit. Rakshas would roam the forest, but only until Ram's arrival. From the day forth, Rakshas who have infested this forest have continued to harass the sages who dwell here. Rakshas and sages coexist here. The focus of the Rakshas is to exterminate the sages, and the focus of the sages had been to attain self-perfection. But the menace of Rakshas had channeled their focus to self-protection instead. Lakshman smiled on hearing this, but Ram was grave. Lakshman realized that Ram was always grave when anyone praised him. Ram contemplated the immense responsibility on his shoulders and gripping his bow. Sita winced, spotting that steely look on her husband's face. Violence always put her off. The three rested for the night in Dandakarna, trying to imagine about the once magnificent city. Today, Sita wanted to make a special garland for Ram. The previous evening, she had spotted some of the most colorful flowers ever. With a currents in her step, she frolicked toward the flower garden, a cane basket swaying rhythmically in her delicate arm. With nimble fingers, Sita began plucking flowers from various bushes and trees. The early morning atmosphere was soothing and quiet, almost too quiet. Watch out! Lakshman's frenzied voice raped through the silence. Even before Sita could turn towards Lakshman, she felt her waist being gripped tight. Startled and afraid, she threw her hands up in the air and the flower basket flung out of her helpless clutch, creating a momentary rainbow of multicolored flying flowers. Instantly, Sita felt paralyzed, waist down. Afraid, she began to shake like a planting tree in a raging storm. The more she struggled, the tighter the grip began. Suddenly, she felt herself being uprooted from the ground and being effortlessly airlifted. In a fit of fear, she began to clobber the object gripping her. And frantically paddled her legs in an effort to escape. Nothing worked. Just then, Lakshman reached the spot, closely followed by Ram. They let out a collective gasp. Ram nearly fainted. Lakshman steadied him, and together they gazed at the impending calamity. A mammoth, repulsive monster stood at a distance of 50 arms. He was thrice the size of the tallest tree in Dandakaranya. Standing on his colossal feet, this demon appeared undefeated. He held a spear, a sharp end of which he balanced over his enormous and well-rounded shoulders. One look at the spear would have convinced any sane man not to interfere with this demon. Stuffed through the spear were three dead lions, four tigers, two wolves, 10 deer, and an elephant head. The oozing blood gave way that those were recent kills. Blood dripping incessantly from the closely held spear and his gory chest and navel made him appear even more ghastly. Elephant hide covered his lower trunk. The tiger skin stretched across his torso to hold together in his elephant tied wrap. He had fashioned a waist belt with a python skin studded with elephant tusks. His monstrous belly seemed to be in a constant fight to release itself from the captivity of the snake belt. He wore wrist cuffs and anklets made of highest quality Kalangjal conches tied together. Around his neck with a variety of garlands, one which made his body seem lustrous, was a garland made of gems extracted from the heads of deadly serpents, and the other, which perfectly managed to mark his looks, was a serpent-threaded garland of dead horses, elephants, lions, tigers, and warriors. He covered his fierce hair with a scarf, which exaggerated his sinister demeanor. His hollow eyes glowed like infernos. His cave-like wide mouth was either roaring to cause tremors or salivating while chomping animals. His ever-searching eyes barred the fact that despite his full mouth, his anger only increased with every bite. Before confronting their enemy, Ram and Lakshman wanted a more realistic estimate of the demon's strength to prepare a strategy to encounter. They scanned the premises. He had uprooted many trees while looking for his meal. He seemed invincible. Obviously, the moment he spotted Sita floating in the woods, he had waited quietly for the opportune moment and grabbed her from behind. The thought of Sita helplessly hanging from the grip of this demon thoroughly disturbed Ram. She was delicate like a rose, so how could she handle this pain? Ram looked at Lakshman with tear-filled eyes and said, "When Rajalakshmi was taken away from me in the form of the kingdom, I did not even think twice. But when my wife, who is the Bhagyalakshmi, is taken away, I cannot bear the pain. Oh, Lakshman." Tears in his brother's eyes enraged Lakshman. He hissed, "All the anger that I swallowed, up in Ayodhya during your exile. I shall take it out on this demon, just as Indra hurls his thunderbolt at the mountains. Help me, save me, help me, save me from this demon. Sita's piteous cries dragged Ram out of his lamentation. The reflection of pain and distress on Sita's face stirred the dormant inferno of anger in Ram. He lifted his infallible bow toward the sky with his left hand and stretched the string up to his ears with his right hand. The bow curved into a perfect circle. The moment his fingers snapped and the string was arrow-free, the high-frequency sound twanged across the forest. The energy emanating from the snap was so strong that it pushed the demon back by a few steps, causing many trees to crash and bushes to crumple. The demon's confidence had now become confusion. Ram attached 7 peacock feather-fetched arrows to his bow at once and released them, aiming for the demon's broad torso. These 7 arrows shot across like fireballs, piercing the demon at 7 places on his left torso. The arrows quivered and force thrust his left arm behind and his chest caved in. He staggered back to position. As he straightened himself, much to the brother's dismay, the deep drilled arrows just sprung out of his body and fell at his feet, as if they were flimsy darts. The demon laughed when he saw the ashen faces of Ram and Lakshman. He pulled out his right foot, bent, and placed Sita on the ground. As soon as her feet touched the ground and his fingers uncurled from her waist, Sita scurried towards Ram. In a booming voice, the demon began hurling abuses at Ram and Lakshman. "You tricksters! Whom are you trying to fool? Your dress and hairstyle indicate peace, and your puny bows and swords reflect violence. Saintly people roaming around with weapons and accompanied by a woman, even by the lowest human standards, this is abominable. I hate hypocrites, and I eat such plastic saints. I am ridding the world of pretenders by gobbling them up in dozens. Virat is my name, and to slaughter is my fame. I have the permanent security of Brahma's benediction. I have been granted the strength of 25,000 elephants and the power to defy death from weapons. What will your puny arrows accomplish? What to speak of the two of you? Even the greatest warriors in the world put together cannot handle the fierceness of the son of Jay and Satradha. Give up the move and move away. Leave this lady to me." Viral's words caused Ram much pain. It was almost as if someone had cut open his chest and extracted his heart. Even the mere thought of separation from Sita was unbearable. With a thunderous laugh, Virat picked up a spear next to him and began spinning it as a child would a drumstick. Soon the spear began racing to Ram, even when continuously swirling in the air. Ram smiled. Even before Virat had recovered from the spinning momentum of the arrow, Ram's arrows had shattered the spear to shreds. Virat stared at the spear splinters that lay scattered on the ground. A dart volley followed, and Virat's upper torso was punctured with arrows. Virat laughed hysterically, as if pain only gave him pleasure. Suddenly he paused and yawned, his mouth opening wide. He indulged in some idle pendiculation, raising both hands high in the air, clasping them together and stretching as if he had just woken up from sleep. With the twist of the torso, every arrow embedded in his flesh popped out of his body. "That was insane," the brothers had never seen such power before. Even the most hideous demons, they had so